это
double standards, as you said.
Запад оформлял исключение
how the West
международных принципов для Косово,
established an exception from international rules for Kosovo, but then the International Court of Justice said that there was no such exception at all, and then, in principle, after Kosovo, it was declared that any part of the territory of any country has the right to determine their own future without the consent of the central authorities.
Двойные стандарты, как хочу, так и
double standards, where they're advantageous, they'll do what they want, and when they're not, they won't.
This is the issue with China Central here. This is the issue with China Central Television. You just mentioned the participation of the Western countries in this conflict. We know that the biggest dealer here is actually the United States, who passed several packages to send send weapons to Ukraine. Even the foreign policy of the U.S. said that U.S. politicians now they're trying to play the long game. What do you think is the intention of the United States, and is Russia ready for a long game with the United States in Ukraine?
Well, the Ukrainian game has been ongoing for quite some time now. I would recall that back in 2003, when the latest elections were held in Ukraine, the preparations were underway at the time. Western politicians, officials, minister for foreign ministers, including the Belgian foreign minister, I remember this perfectly well, he explicitly proclaimed that Ukrainians during those elections need to determine who they were with Russia or with Europe. And this kind of a mindset, this philosophy, either them or us, hasn't disappeared, and the way that today we see the Russophobic trends, which are raging rampant throughout Europe, and the Europeans and Americans are trying to bring the whole world into this disgraceful policy, the actions of the West at the moment, when immediately Russian regular Russophobia was encouraged and the Russian language prohibited, this is racism, which apparently didn't disappear. It's no longer latent. It is now obvious, and this is being spread and proliferating. The same with those slogans, Ukrainians, choose who you're with, and a few years later there were other elections. The candidate that was not embraced by the West didn't win, and the West did everything possible to raise a wave in Ukraine and to compel its subordinate Ukrainian officials to hand over the issue to the Constitutional Court. And the Constitutional Court, which is supposed to protect the Constitution, set out a third round of elections, which is not enshrined in the Constitution, and the necessary candidate for the United States was then selected. So, you know, in December of 2013, there was a publication of what leaked the recording of the television, the discussion between Victoria Nuland and the American ambassador in Kiev. The American ambassador in Kiev was being reported to, this was back in December, about which politicians need to be prepared for the new government, even though there was more than a year before the elections. So a certain likelihood of an abnormal transfer of power was possible, and Nuland named a few names which she thought had to be included in the leadership of Ukraine. And to this, the U.S. ambassador in Kiev said, well, you know, this specific individual, he is not supported by the European Union. Do you remember what she answered? Fuck the EU. So this is the relationship. This is the truth. And the relationship today is the same. The whole coup, the turnaround with Germany, France, and Poland signed on, their ministers signed on to a guarantee of the creation of a government of national unity, which would deal with preparations for early elections in 5 to 6 months. During those elections, the opposition would certainly have won. But instead of complying with the agreement and at least respecting the authority of European countries, who placed their authority at stake. The following morning, they didn't wait very long. The next morning, they seized administrative buildings, and then at the square, they proclaimed, "Celebrate, congratulate us, we created a government of victors, not of national unity, but a government of victors. There's a big difference here. And this was something that was seen repeatedly, the fact that the United States views the current situation around Ukraine as some kind of a yardstick by which their capacity will be measured to remain a hegemon. This is absolutely clear to me. I'm not comparing the situations. However, when the United States launched their aggressive misadventures in Yugoslavia, in Iraq, in Libya, when they invaded Syria without any right to do so, they, and in Afghanistan, by the way, also, they announced areas of their interest in areas tens of thousands of miles from American shores. And in parallel with these processes, when they sowed chaos everywhere to then have the American fished out of those muddy waters, they advanced NATO eastward and further eastward. NATO, a defensive alliance. When the Soviet Union existed, when there was a Warsaw Pact, when the Berlin Wall was up, a concrete wall and an imagined wall between the two blocks, yes, it was understood that they were defensive. They were defending themselves from, as they viewed the aggressive Soviet Union, the Warsaw Pact, but then there's no longer a Soviet Union, no Warsaw Pact, and they're now defending themselves tens of thousands of kilometers from the line that was then understood. They simply decide, okay, we will defend ourselves here, then we will defend ourselves there. They announced that NATO, now as a defensive alliance, is accountable for security in the Indo-Pacific region, as they put it. So the next line of defense of NATO, the line of protection, will be the South China Sea. I have no doubt about that. Today I spoke about this during the general debate. How long will this situation go on? I won't guess. President was asked, and the response was, we see our purposes which were proclaimed. We are working towards the achievement of those goals.